Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
This morning, we are about to discuss something many of us encounter daily, but might not fully understand. What exactly happens when we click allow on those permission requests that pop up on websites and apps? Digital and social media strategy expert Scott Kleinberg joins us now to help us figure it all out. Scott, let's start with the basics. Talk about what exactly are app and website permissions.
Yeah, good morning, Bob. So app permissions are special rights that apps request from you to access certain features or functions or data on your device. So they can include access to your camera, microphone, location, contacts, photo library, even your calendar. Websites often make similar requests, and when that pop-up appears that says allow notifications or access your location, you're essentially being asked to grant permission for that site or that app to use those specific features on your device.
Yeah, I think many times we just click allow without thinking about it too much. Talk about why we should be more careful about those decisions.
Yeah, and that's a common reaction. We want to quickly access the content or service. However, each permission you grant, it potentially exposes aspects of your personal or professional life to the app developer and possibly to third parties. So, for example, location tracking doesn't just help a navigation app guide you. That data can reveal your daily patterns, the places you frequent, even confidential meeting locations. And without proper management of these permissions, you increase the risk that your information could someday be shared or sold to third parties.
Are some of those permissions more risky than others?
I would say so. Permissions that grant access to your camera, your microphone, location, contacts, even your storage, they tend to carry higher privacy risks. So, for example, camera and microphone access could potentially allow an app to record you without your knowledge. Location data can be particularly revealing, like we were just saying, but think of it this way. It could show where you live, where you work, shop, and even who you visit.
And sometimes if you post on social media and you want to post pictures, you have to allow access to, for example, your photos, right?
Yeah. Some of them, they absolutely require you to need something, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's doing that for that purpose.
And I've noticed sometimes an app like a flashlight app or a game app will ask for access to contacts or your location. Why would they need that?
Well, that's a great observation, and that's a perfect example of what would be called excessive permissions. So many apps request access to data that they don't actually need for core functionality, a little bit of what you were just saying. A flashlight app only needs access to your device's flashlight. There's no legitimate need for your contacts or location. Usually when apps request permission unrelated to their function, it can be to collect data that can be used for advertising purposes, but they could also be sold to data brokers.
So what happens to all of that data after we grant permissions?
That's the most difficult thing. We don't usually know, because once collected, your data could be used, like we were saying, for targeted advertising, could ultimately be sold to a third party, or in worst case scenario, it could be exploited by a malicious actor. We know from extensive reports that are out there that many apps create large databases of information they access on your device, including that location data, that can easily identify you and at least reconstruct your pattern of life without having this proper permission management. That information can continue to flow in the background, out of sight and out of mind, and often really forgotten by users.
Yeah, what happens if you grant permission, then you forget about it for maybe years?
Bob, it's actually a very common scenario, and it's a significant privacy concern. Apps you granted permissions to years ago could still be collecting and sharing your data today, even if you rarely use them. Think of it as leaving a window open in your house and you forget about it. Anyone could be looking in or accessing your home without your awareness, and these forgotten permissions create, some security experts call it permission drift, where over time you accumulate more and more of these apps that have access to your personal personal data, and each one increases your digital footprint and vulnerability. So great example, an app you granted access to, location access to, let's say, in 2022 could very well still be tracking your movements in 2025, which again would reveal sensitive information about your habits, your health visits, if you go to your doctor, or personal relationships.
Is there a way to go back and check what permissions we've already granted?
Yeah. Fortunately, mobile devices and computers provide ways to audit and manage permissions. So like on a smartphone, you can go to your device settings, look for privacy or permissions, and you can review what each app can access. I recommend doing this regularly, perhaps every few months. You can conduct an app permissions audit where you review all of your apps. Then you question, does this app still need the permissions it has after you go to that settings menu and take a look around? You can revoke any unnecessary permission. The good thing is you can always put them back if you make a mistake, and you can uninstall apps you no longer use. And, you know, this kind of digital housekeeping, I would say it's essential for maintaining your privacy, especially over long periods of time.
Yeah, it sounds like it. With digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, based on everything we've been talking about, should we just deny all permission requests to be safe?
You know, it's a reasonable question, but the answer isn't quite that simple, because some permissions are genuinely necessary for apps to function properly. So, for example, a navigation app, it does need your location to provide directions, and a video conferencing app needs camera and microphone access to let you participate in calls. The key, I think, is making informed decisions. Before you grant any permission, you need to sit back for a second and ask yourself, is this permission absolutely necessary for the core function of the app? Do I trust this developer or company? Is the benefit I get worth the privacy that I'm giving up? I think it's about finding the right balance between the functionality and the privacy based on your personal comfort level.
That makes sense. Are there certain types of apps or websites that we should be particularly cautious about?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would especially be cautious with free games or entertainment apps, because they often monetize through aggressive data collection, apps that have unclear privacy policies, apps from unknown developers, any app requesting permission that seems unrelated to its function, like the earlier example of the flashlight asking for your location. It doesn't need to know that. And remember that well-known apps from major companies, they're not automatically safer. They can still collect extensive data. And in fact, some of the most popular social media apps are among the most data-hungry.
Let's talk about solutions. What practical steps can people take to protect themselves? And you know, you still want to enjoy the benefits of the technology.
For sure. So here are some practical strategies. I would say first, only install apps you genuinely need. Remove the ones you no longer use, which immediately reduces your exposure. I would use the least privilege principle. Grant apps only the minimum permissions they need to function. If an app can work without your location, don't give it location access. Prefer only while using in the app. You may see some of those things where it says only while using in the app or always. Consider that for sensitive permissions like location, camera, and microphone. Regularly audit your permissions, like we discussed earlier, and consider turning on multi-factor authentication for important accounts. You should do that anyway, but that provides an extra layer of security. So if your information is compromised, that will help there.
Are online scams, any of these scams connected to permissions and privacy and what we're talking about here?
It's a great question. Scammers often try to create a sense of urgency to bypass your critical thinking. So yes, they might send messages claiming your account has been compromised and you need to verify permissions immediately, or create fake permission requests that mimic legitimate ones. A good rule of thumb is always be skeptical of anything urgent. Legitimate companies rarely need you to take immediate action. So take that moment to verify the request through official channels rather than just blanketly clicking on links in messages. And remember, no legitimate service is ever going to ask you for your password. They're never going to ask you to pay through unusual methods like sending a gift card or a wire transfer.
And as new apps and devices and permission types emerge, how do we stay safe?
I would say the key to that is developing good digital habits rather than just focusing only on today's specific threats. You should always stay curious and skeptical and ask why whenever an app requests your permission. If you follow technology, trusted technology news sources to stay informed about emergency privacy concerns, that's important too. And consider privacy as a default position. Start with the minimum and only grant more when you're understanding what the trade-offs are. Remember that digital privacy isn't just about you. When you grant access to your contacts, for example, you're potentially sharing information about friends and family as well. So that thoughtful approach to permissions protects you and your entire social circle.
Don't get paranoid, and it's never too late to start managing your permissions and privacy. Let's get to the Genius Bar question, and this is very timely, Scott. Yep. Hi, Bob. Please ask Scott Kleinberg about the FBI warning regarding unencrypted texting security issues. Yeah, we've been hearing a lot about that in the last 24 hours.
We have. And there are a lot of these warnings that tend to come up. But anything that has to do with unencrypted apps is simply just staying safe, because what you're texting could be visible to other people. And that's what we're talking about, what's in the news today with Signal and all of those things. But you want to use an encrypted app. If you're using Apple's messages, for example, or Google's messaging, that's encrypted. If you're using Facebook Messenger, that's encrypted. But there are these smaller apps out there that you may not have heard of that are unencrypted, and that's where you want to be very careful. And that's what they're warning about, that some of these things can be viewed by third parties, even when you think what you're saying is private.
Scott Kleinberg, thank you as always. Talk to you next Tuesday.
Take care, Bob.
We've asked our digital media strategist, Scott Kleinberg, to come back on with us for a few minutes this morning, because a lot of people are trying to get through to the website in the wake of that 23andMe bankruptcy. Scott, first of all, what does that bankruptcy mean for someone's personal information?
It basically means that when the bankruptcy happens and the company is sold, the data that the company retains on you can be sent or will be sent to the new owner. So it basically means you thought that what you had was private with the company that you transacted with, but it's a lot more than that, and now it goes a lot deeper.
So frequently companies go into bankruptcy, they restructure, and then they live again. Yes. Might that happen here? And if it does, what does that mean to your personal data?
See, that is the biggest unknown. Yes, to your question, it could happen again. But the thing here is we're talking about some of the most personal information that exists in the world. I mean, this is your DNA. What they decide to do with that data, who they decide to grant access to it, That is the question. I mean, for example, there could be a health company out there that's interested in, you know, the information that they provide right now. So that's where the unknown comes in. And that's why so many people are talking about the importance of deleting the information that you've sent to the company.
I'm hearing from a lot of people today who are trying to delete their 23andMe account and information, and they're having trouble getting through. I don't know if the website crashed or it's just so much traffic now. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know specifically, but I think it is very safe to say that it has a lot to do with website traffic, and it's something where you'll probably just want to keep trying. I didn't want to try because I didn't want to take up any of the bandwidth, but yeah, there are lots of people talking about this morning and a lot of people saying that they can't get onto the site. The thing that's so interesting is that the company actually makes it really easy to request the information be deleted. It's just a matter of actually getting onto the site, as you say.
So, yeah, they've posted some information saying that customers can delete their 23andMe account within their account settings. Yep. The company's customer care page has information about how to do that. But I guess the problem is too many people are doing that right now, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm sure too many people are doing it. I'm sure there are plenty of people that are alarmed by what they're seeing. You also have people in different states, you know, writing about it in different ways. For example, there's state laws in certain places. I believe 13 states have state laws on the book that go beyond what federal laws say when it comes to your data and your privacy. So the California Attorney General has come out and made a plea to all of his residents to go to the site. Unfortunately, it's still one site. Now, whether or not 23andMe increases the bandwidth of their site to allow more people, I don't know if that'll happen, but so far it doesn't seem to be the case.
And what do you say to people who might say, well, yeah, they have my information, but so what? And if they try to sell it, it really doesn't affect me. It's not like all of a sudden, my bank account is going to be infiltrated. What do you say to folks who kind of have that attitude?
I think it's a different way of looking at it, because when you say, you know, it's not my bank account information, if bank account information is stolen or passwords are stolen, that can have a very immediate effect where you could notice someone opening an account in your name or something like that. When you're talking about genetics and you're talking about DNA, this is something that could literally pop up years and years and years down the road, or could end up in the wrong hands. If it were to end up at a health company that created the greatest cancer vaccine of our lifetime, well, that would be a wonderful outcome. But if it ended up on the black market where someone's selling DNA files for $10, that's not such a good thing. DNA is basically your digital fingerprint, and it's kind of hard to put in perspective when you compare it to something like a password, but it really is your password if you look at it like that.
Yeah, 15 million customers, 23andMe right now stressing that any buyer will be required to comply with applicable law with respect to treatment of customer data. So is that comforting to hear? Does that make you feel better about this, Scott?
I wish it did. I want it to, because it sounds really good, right? It sounds really smart. But then you think about what happens in, you're going back to, you know, like this whole credit card bank account thing. You think about a company that has every possible precaution in place, or so they think, and then they fall victim to a data breach. And then the data breach takes 70 million accounts or something like that. There was a data breach not long ago where 1 billion social security numbers came out. It's like, you don't know that's going to happen. So just because they're making all the plans to transfer everything properly, and I'm sure they will, I have no doubt about that, what happens afterwards, what that next company does, what their processes are in place to keep data safe, those are things we can't possibly know. And they could have no protections in place, or they could have better protections in place that exist now. It's just, it's that unknown that is so difficult. And that's why deleting is so important to be safe.
Now, this would be a good time to mention the way to get in touch with Scott Kleinberg. Scott usually joins us on Tuesdays at 7:40. We asked him to come back and talk about this today, and we appreciate that, Scott. And we frequently, on our Genius Bar feature with you, have questions that people have for you. And, of course, if you text us or email us, we can pass those to Scott. But, Scott, why don't you just give the other way people can get in touch with you directly if they have a question. And you may hear a lot about 23andMe today. I have a feeling.
It's totally okay. I take any questions that's out there. I have a Gmail account. It's digitalstrategy101@gmail.com. digitalstrategy101@gmail. I try to check it at least two or three times a day, so I will do my best. But yeah, if there's anything I can answer, I'll certainly try. I don't always have all the answers, but I do what I can.
Yeah, you're pretty good, Scott Kleinberg. Appreciate it, Scott. Thanks for jumping back on with us.
Anytime at all, Bob. Thank you.